Okay, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day just to be alive and breathing and healthy enough to be here. We just thank you for your grace, the ability to see, the ability to hear your word. Help us not take any of these things for granted, Father. We thank you for your mercy and your gentleness towards us and your patience towards us. All motivated by your love. Father, we ask that you bless those who cannot be here tonight that desire to be. We ask that you comfort them and let them know that we're with them in spirit. And everything is in your timing, Lord. Bring them back to us according to your will. And most of all, Father, we are all grateful and thankful for your precious Son. Thank you so much for sending him to do something unthinkable in our eyes, to sacrifice him in our place, the innocent for the guilty. Father, help us to walk around in that gratitude and appreciation for that marvelous thing. We ask that you bless this message right now. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. And we ask these things based on the merits of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Proverbs 17, Wisdom, Part 106. As we wrap up our time on fine speech today, in preparation for our dear pastor's return on Sunday, hopefully we're going to put a bow on our discussions tonight and on God's love as the motivation behind fine speech. So let's jump right in. We might end a little bit early tonight. We'll see. But it's really perfect timing how God worked everything out to cover everything that, you know, I had planned even from 3 months ago. And it's all coming, you know, perfect timing to finish up with a nice summary, we might say. First of all, the Spirit has something for us to think about lately on the board. Have salt in yourselves. It's good to ask yourself if you do have salt in yourself. Are you so focused on the comforts of life that you miss the great call to be salt of the earth for those around you? I mean, it's like salt of the earth for those around you is this thing that is indescribable. It's something that believers can live in and be solace and comfort and encouragement to people around you in different ways, speech, actions, prayers, thoughts. And we underestimate this call. I mean, if you were called to be a doctor or a nurse and you ignored that calling, how many people would you not get to care for and help? How much more is this in the spiritual realm? All the souls that need encouragement, guidance, etc., etc. Salt of the earth, remember, preserves those around us, from the small circles to the biggest, you know, from our families to our country. So are you so focused on the comforts of life that you miss the great call to be salt of the earth for those around you? What a shame if we pass up that opportunity to help all these people, all these hurting souls. And we all have our different style or different callings within that, but we all have the same calling. And this has been a cause for self-examination, especially for those of us living in prosperous countries, because it's very easy to let the comforts of life rule our thoughts and our priorities. You might say, do the comforts of life rule our lives? We saw on Sunday, what's our intent as we go on our daily spiritual walks? What's our intent? What's our intention of the heart? Is it to maintain comforts of life first and then serve the Lord second? So on the board, regarding fine speech, here's what we've seen the last several messages. It's when our hearts are right with God that we can be most useful to him and live as the salt of the earth God intended us to be. a lot about the heart being right with God in this series. A lot about that. And we've also talked about compassion lately as part of a godly righteous attitude. Not just humility, but compassion. And what is compassion but an expression of God's love? So this is directly related to how we conduct ourselves, including carrying around fine speech wherever we go. This is so powerful. I think that's going to come out in this message. By the end of the message, how powerful fine speech can be, even life-changing. So turn again to your Bibles to Proverbs 17:7. We haven't been here in a while. Let's look at this verse one more time. Our main passage to inspire this topic on fine speech the last 3 months or so. Proverbs 17:7, fine speech is not becoming to a fool, still less is false speech to a prince. So on the board, these have been two of our main passages. Always have gracious speech. We're told to always have gracious speech. Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Remember all the good work we did on being seasoned with salt and the different meanings of that. But the first command is, let your speech always be gracious. So when we hear the word grace or gracious, we should think of undeserved kindness. And by definition, this means being kind to those who don't deserve it, right? It's not undeserved if someone deserves it. So while this technically includes everybody because we're all sinners, grace must be called upon when dealing with those who are antagonistic toward God and therefore antagonistic towards us. We must call upon grace, the Lord's undeserved kindness, the way he treated those who didn't treat him rightly. Even all the way to the cross, right? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. So this is a challenge to our flesh anyway. But in the power of the Spirit, we can do all things. And this is where we got to get outside of ourselves. We've been using the phrase also, get out of your way, get out of God's way, get out of your own way. Get outside of yourself. Inside yourself, you're like, I can't do that. I know I have limits. I can't love my enemy. But get outside of yourself. You're not you anymore, right? You're Christ. Christ is in you. You're a new creature in Christ. And the Bible says on the board, Philippians 4:13 in the New King James Version, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's a greater miracle, moving a mountain or forgiving an enemy? I think it's forgiving an enemy. Call me crazy. What's a greater miracle? Someone's spitting in your face, punching you, nails you to a cross, and you can say, I forgive you. That is not human. That is divine, right? And you have the divine in you if you're a believer in Christ. You're different. You're new. And on the board, you should always have this verse as something that you call upon. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is why we should never say to ourselves, I could never do that. That should not be in any of our language. And I've done it from time to time. And then I catch myself. I'm like, wait a minute. You're thinking fleshly minded. You're thinking earthly minded. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So either you decide to believe that or you don't. It's funny how when we actually believe it, God works in our lives, right? He's always waiting for us to have faith. Have faith. And then watch what happens. So don't buy the lie the world is selling you, that there are things you cannot do. You have the Spirit of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, living inside of you. And by faith, you can do all things that are impossible otherwise. Literally impossible. How about raising the dead? How about healing lepers, healing cripples? Not only did Jesus do that, the apostles did that. And I believe those kind of healings are still happening throughout the world, especially in third world countries. Because why? The Spirit of Christ is in the believer, and through the believer, through faith, by grace, through faith, a believer could do anything, if it's God's will. But all things are truly possible, including loving your enemies with gracious speech, even though you want to do harm to them, even though you do not want to stay near them. You have the power within you to love your enemies with gracious speech. So as our example, we look to the undeserved kindness of Jesus that he showed to sinners. There's not a greater extreme than to be holy and perfect and righteous and to show kindness to a sinner. Of course, our challenge is much less than that. Even a child can imitate the ways of the Lord because it's done by faith, not by your own abilities. Sometimes a child does it easier than an adult would do it because they accept it by faith and they don't let self get in the way. They believe, and God uses them in amazing ways. And we're all called to have that faith of a child. So on the board, this is related to gracious speech. Always have gracious speech. These gracious kinds of words are sweet as honey to the soul because they do not seek strife, but just the opposite, they are a call to love. And as we've discussed, people just aren't used to this. They're not even comfortable with it. And if we approach others with God's love as our motivation, they will be compelled to consider what we say. That's kind of been an ongoing message, you know, said in different ways, right? They're going to be compelled to listen because this love is strange. It's foreign. It stirs the soul. They don't understand why you're loving them, even though you know, they gave you the evil eye. Why are they still being kind to me? So again, gracious words are a call to love. They're an invitation. You know, come over here anyway, even though you're being a jerk right now. Come on over here anyway. Let me encourage you. So as we've been reminded throughout from different angles on the board, always have gracious speech. Gracious speech is motivated by God's selfless love. Selfless love. So selfless, he became a ransom for us in 1 Timothy 2:6, remember. And that's the message we are to spread. Gracious speech is motivated by God's selfless love. On the board, again, always have gracious speech. Find gracious speech is about the well-being of the one you are speaking to the exclusion of self. This is difficult for us. We always want to get in the way or involve ourselves or take credit or compare to who we're talking to. You know what I mean? Have one up on the person we're talking to because of the flesh. Fine gracious speech is about the well-being of the one you are speaking to the exclusion of self. Doesn't matter if you look like a fool. Doesn't matter if you look weak. Doesn't matter. You don't matter in that moment. This is how we should be when sharing the gospel. We don't make it about ourselves, other than to let them know we're sinners too. We make it about the sacrificial love, the selfless love of our Lord and Savior. And also, this is how we should be when encouraging one another. We should put self on the shelf in our souls, if that helps. Put self on the shelf. Can't even say it. Put self on the shelf. Forget about yourself in that moment. Be all in, invested for the benefit of that person who, generally speaking, is hurting in their soul. Believer or unbeliever, hurting in different ways maybe, but you're speaking to them for their edification, like for their benefit, their healing. And gracious words do that. So as we grow in God's grace and knowledge, we make it more and more about the well-being of the one we're speaking to and less about ourselves. We're not perfect, but as we continue to grow, we can truly get out of the way and be like totally focused on their well-being, whoever they are. So on the board, always have gracious speech. Even if we're being insulted by others, we choose to look past that and treat them in the undeserved kindness or grace that we were treated with by the Lord. Amen? Isn't that what it's about? I mean, recalling where you came from and the Lord's kindness towards you, that should motivate you to be kind to anybody. So again, Peter lays this out for us nicely. Let's one more time look at 1 Peter 3, 13 through 16. 1 Peter 3, 13. Again, the point on the board, even if we're being insulted by others, we choose to look past that and treat them in the undeserved kindness or grace we were treated with by the Lord. 1 Peter 3:13. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy. This is an interesting phrase we haven't touched on yet. We talked a lot about the heart, right? Being right before God. In your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy. In other words, that's the position of strength to work from when you're dealing with somebody. Christ is holy. Christ is precious. It's all about Him. So if you have your heart set on Him, you'll be able to make a defense properly, as it goes on to say. Verse 15, but in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. There's nothing like gracious, selfless behavior. Because I was picturing this in my head as I was reading this passage today, right? You ever been in a situation where maybe someone's trying to do the right thing or doing something fine or kind to someone, and there's a couple people around, and one person says, ha, look at them, right? Kind of mocks them for doing what's right. And then someone next to them says, what are you mocking them for? They're doing something that's right or kind. That's what we see at the end of verse 16. Those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Like they'll be made to look like the fool because you didn't react, you didn't get defensive, you didn't lash out, you didn't make it about yourself. You were willing to play the fool and be kind, undeserved kindness. And then eventually it comes back on them if they persist in shame, which is fine because that's their conscience starting to work on them. You have the good conscience in verse 16. Do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. The point is that love wins. Love always wins. Take the high road. Live in Christ's love. Copy him. Imitate his faith. His examples to us. And gracious words are an expression of that love. So again, we make a defense to those who ask for an answer to the hope in us with gentleness and respect. As the Spirit's been encouraging us, we need to sit back, be slow to speak, and let the love of Christ control us. It's amazing what happens when we have a little self-control, even in the moment, and we decide not to say what we might be thinking, but we pray quickly for help. And then God fills your mouth with wonderful, sweet, truthful words. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5:14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. We need to let the love of Christ control us. Second Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Again, we need to sit back, be slow to speak, and let the love of Christ control us. If we rely on the Spirit, he'll lead us to make a defense with gentleness and respect. And this goes right along with being told to always have gracious speech. On the board, look at Ecclesiastes 10:12 in the New King James Version. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. The words of a wise man's mouth, if you really want wisdom, you'll speak graciously. We are humbled and privileged to act this way when representing our Lord. We're always representing him, after all, but even more so when we actually speak, because we can't take back what we speak, right? Words slip out, you're like, oh, and now it's in their head. You can't take it back out of their head. Unfortunately, sometimes you want to. And this is where the value of taking your time comes in and being thoughtful in your speech. So, for some perspective, here's a verse that reminds us to also use the fear of the Lord as motivation to carry fine speech wherever we go. Not just the love of the Lord, but the fear of the Lord. This is somewhere one of our main points 2 months ago. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. We have not seen this verse, 2 Peter 3. But this is a great visual aid. More than a visual aid, it's a great reminder of what's to come and how we should live because of what's to come. And if you're discouraged about life today, step back and look at the big picture, because here's what's to come very soon. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Peter's talking to us who know better, believers who know better from the Word of God. That's a great question in verse 11, is it not? Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. So that is humbling. There's a great reminder how we should not be worried about the details of life. Everything is temporary in this world. And with love and fear for the Lord as our motivation, a la Psalm 103, if you remember, let's hear and obey the word regarding our speech. Let's be humble and obey the word of God regarding our speech. Again, on the board, always have gracious speech. Proverbs 16:24, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Now for another verse that reminds us how to have fine, gracious speech that gives others the chance to grab onto it. Turn to Ephesians 4:15. Ephesians 4:15. So we're actually going to see a lot of new scriptures tonight that we haven't even covered once yet, but we're going to kind of, especially at the end, see a little survey of other verses that talk about gracious speech. But here's another command for us. At least I believe it's a command. It looks like a command. We'd have to go back to the Greek on that. But look at Ephesians 4:15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Speaking the truth in love. In context, this verse speaks of those with teaching gifts leading believers forward in the faith. But please do not forget, we all have our own pulpits. We are all teachers to somebody. We all have people that are going to want to hear from us that maybe only we have access to. Anyway, we've heard that before, and so you can apply this verse to yourself and your own little ministry. And when I say little, I hope you know what I mean. We each have our own little ministry. We each have our own little pocket where God says, I don't need you. I can have the rock speak if I want to get the gospel out. There's been billions of people before you and billions of people after you. I don't need you in my plan, but I'm going to give you this pocket to work. This is where I want you. This is your ministry. The time, the place, the people I have around you. No coincidences. And so we can apply this to ourselves. In Ephesians 4:15 again, rather speaking the truth in love, we ought to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So, think about this for a minute. Have you ever been around someone whose words gave you such excellent peace and encouragement? Hopefully you can all say yes to that question at some point in your life. I have, thank God, at times in my life that I really, really needed it. Have you ever been around someone whose words gave you such excellent peace and encouragement? Like a one in a million experience, a once in a lifetime even. Encouragement, you know, between the fine speech of that individual and between how low you may have been at the moment, it seems like the best thing you've ever heard in your life, maybe. Or it was a life-saving, preserving, like salt, right? Preserved your soul in a terrible moment. So there's like okay speech, right? You know, hey, how you doing? Good, how you doing? That's okay, right? There's good speech. How you doing, right? Good to see you. Really good to see you. I really want to know how you're doing. And then there's fine, excellent speech. that goes beyond that. You know, we're not talking about good speech. We're talking about fine, excellent, overhanging speech. Remember that? We're going to see our Hebrew definition again in a minute, just to remind you as we close out this topic. We're talking about overhanging speech that gives that small rope to grab onto when someone doesn't have the energy to reach very high. You know? That's what we're talking about. And if you think about it, you usually find this in someone who takes the time to measure their words before they say them. Or you find it in someone who has the enthusiasm towards life and towards you because of their relationship with God. Is that fair to say? I mean, like when you think about your past experiences, when someone saved you in the moment, their words just really saved you. Either they measure their words carefully and thoughtfully and considerately, or their enthusiasm towards life and towards you really encourages you because you see God in them ultimately. And remember, the word enthusiasm in the Greek, it comes from the Greek entheos, which means in God. We find our purpose and our energy for life in God. I've been thinking a lot about this lately too, personally. Like, God wants us to enjoy life. God wants us to live in enthusiasm and love. Love for one another, love of Him, love of life itself as a gift. Whatever happened to that? It seems like now the world is so busy, it gets us spun up so fast that we can't enjoy the moment. Like the ladies in the middle of the church here were laughing their heads off before church. For like, what, half hour? I'm just kidding. 10 minutes? I don't know. But it was fun to listen to. You know why? Nobody laughs anymore. Nobody relaxes and just laughs at themselves or others together anymore. Satan has done a great job of pressing us down, saying, you don't deserve to laugh. You have no reason to be enthusiastic. What does it take? It takes faith to bash through that barrier. It takes us humbly going to God and asking for more faith to bash through that barrier and be this type of person that we're supposed to be in Christ. You know, people should see you, and this is, doesn't mean all the time, but, you know, when you approach people, right, or you approach a small crowd of people or whatever, how many people are downtrodden? You shouldn't be downtrodden. You really shouldn't, not habitually. If you had something bad happen in your life, it's understandable, right? We all have struggles. We should not habitually be downtrodden. We should be agreeable. We should be gracious. We should be friendly. We should be enthusiastic. And this is part of fine speech too. So here's the main point tonight from the Spirit. It's that you can be this person. You can be this person, whoever you are, no matter who you are, because all it takes is relying on God's love as your motivation. It doesn't take your skill, ability to speak. You might always twist up your words when you speak. That's not what matters. You know what will get you over that? When you rely on God's love as your motivation. And you forget about self. Remember that? Put self on the shelf. You totally are overwhelmed with the well-being of the person in front of you. You do that and you watch what comes out of your mouth. You won't believe it because it will be divine. You can be this person that is this encouraging person carrying fine speech. And you might not think you can do it, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So don't say, I can't do that. That's just bad thinking. So, and by the way, if you remember a couple weeks ago, I told you how even though I have the gift of evangelism, I occasionally get irritable with people or upset with people that I'm evangelizing. So I'm working on this too, you know? I'm not talking down to anybody. I lose my patience sometimes, depending on what they say, you know. So it's a journey and it's a growth process, but we all can be this person that carries around fine, gracious speech, who's filled with patience and love and takes time to lovingly measure their words before speaking. Anyone can do that because it requires faith, right? It requires God's love as your motivation. So on the board, in other words, regarding excellent speech, in our practical experience, it's usually the person who thinks before they speak, often lovingly taking their time, that comes out with sweet yet truthful words for our souls. And you can be this person. It's nice to receive, right? It's really nice to receive, especially when you really need it. But you know what? If we're giving, we're always going to be receiving. If we're worried about each other, God will take care of us through each other. Don't worry about yourself. God will take care of you through somebody, some way. Worry about doing your job as the salt of the earth, right? In our practical experience, it's usually the person who thinks before they speak, often lovingly taking their time, that comes out with sweet yet truthful words for our souls. Whoever is listening right now, you can be this person by grace through faith. And thank God for people like this, right? When we come across them, there's such a breath of fresh air, such an encouragement. May we all learn to be this person for each other. As Peter said, loving one another fervently from the heart. Loving one another fervently from the heart. You know, forget about yourself. Go for it. Live in these principles and be set free. And watch how God blesses everyone around you. This also does include our opportunity to rightly and lovingly share the gospel. But either way, whether it's towards fellow believers or towards unbelievers, people who choose to have fine speech on their lips are, like Jesus said, a light on a hill and like salt of the earth, giving hope to weary, dark souls in the moment. So I also think of this description here that Jesus gave of himself, of his own person. On the board, in Matthew 11:29, he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Rest for your souls. The Lord's fine, gracious speech attracted people to him like no one else. And he did so with gentleness and respect as an expression of his love, even to the undeserving. His fine speech came from his gentle heart, in other words. It's amazing how gentleness and respect reaches people. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 42, verse 1. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Here's a prophecy about the Messiah, which Jesus fulfilled, of course. And let's note what it says about him and his personality, if you will. Isaiah 42, 1. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice." Again, here we see the great gentleness of the Lord. And notice, he brings forth justice, yet with gentleness and self-control. An interesting paradox to us. But he brings forth justice with gentleness and self-control. I can only imagine how thoughtful our Lord was before he spoke to each and every person that he encountered when he was on earth. And we do see many examples in the Gospels, but how many conversations did he have with people that are not recorded in the Gospels? But the Lord was filled with grace and truth, And he always gave people something truly good to grab onto. That's what we're trying to emulate. That's what we're trying to imitate in his activity with people. And even if it hurt them at first, he did it in grace. The truth does hurt, but he did it in grace. So again, remember this this definition on the board, which we kind of started with 3 months ago now. Fine speech is the Hebrew yether sofar. The Hebrew means excellent speech, as in overhanging, and excess, as in extra good language that someone can grab onto. Again, there's okay speech, there's good speech, and then there's fine speech, excellent speech, overhanging speech, something that is easy for someone to dig out of the hole with that they're in their soul. The Lord Jesus was the master at this type of speech. So back to practical living for us. How about when you're a young person and you have doubts about yourself, and someone looks you sincerely in the eye and says, "You can do this. God is with you." How does that affect that young person, right? We were all there at one point in our lives, even Jim. How about when you're an old person and you have doubts about yourself? It's not for the young only, is it? We all know this. Someone looks you sincerely in the eye and says, "You can do this. God is with you." And that might be exactly what you needed to go forward by faith and have the victory in that test. We all need truly encouraging words at times. And this is one reason we should appreciate our pastor, because he encourages us all the time from behind this pulpit, and even personally when he has the opportunity. And although the truth often stings like salt, the desire of the heart is for our benefit, and often in gentleness, that the truth may set us free as it's designed to do. We are blessed. So let's all have overhanging speech that gives others something to grab onto without much effort being needed on their part. I think of low-hanging grapes from a vine, right, that have easy access. If someone's starving to death and they're on the ground and they're so weak they can't even stand up, wouldn't it be nice to bring the grapes down to them? That's what we do. That's what fine speech does. Someone could be totally gone in their soul, right? Even thinking about suicide. And you may not know it, but your words are that powerful, can be that wonderful. So on the board, speak the truth in love. We are capable of so many things through the power of God, and sometimes it's the fine speech of others that helps us step out by faith and do great things for God, things we had no business in doing or succeeding at on our own. There's the power of truly encouraging words. Hopefully you all have something that comes to mind when you think about this. Because we know when there's things in our lives that we have no business achieving, right? We're not good at it, maybe. We're not strong in that area. We've never done it before. We live in fear of something. And then just the right time, just the right words come along to say, "Go by faith. Take a step. God's got your back." And you take that first step and you go do that thing that you think is impossible for you. And you get through it and you have a victory through it. That's the power of truly encouraging words and speaking the truth in love. That's why this is such a wonderful series he's given us. So here's where we consider the contribution we have to make in the lives of those around us. And really consider this. Stop thinking about what you need and what you can get. God will take care of you. Think about what others need around you. You can be this person for someone else. So we're going to close with what other things Holy Scripture says about having gracious speech. So we're going to do a little survey of some scriptures as we close out today. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 10:21. Proverbs 10:21. And again, I hope the thing that you leave with tonight is that you can be this person, even though you didn't think of yourself this way. It doesn't matter. Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. So there we see fine speech can feed many souls with the food of encouragement. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. Go to Proverbs 15:4. Proverbs 15:4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Which one are you going to choose to be by faith? There we see the spiritual power of gentleness. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. In other words, fruit comes from it. Prosperity comes from it. But perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Look at verse 7, Proverbs 15:7. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. So there we see fine speech includes sharing knowledge of God with others. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. Look at Proverbs 22:17. Proverbs 22:17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips. What are the words of the wise? We saw this earlier on the board, Ecclesiastes 10:12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. So again, look at Proverbs 22:17-18. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. What are those? Gracious. Apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips. Don't be shy. Have God's words ready on your lips, and don't worry about what people think about you. Proverbs 25:11-12. Go to Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. So there again we see the value of gracious words being seasoned with the salt of the truth. And there's also the value of thinking before we speak. Go to Ephesians 4:25, a few verses in the New Testament before we close. Excuse me. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. That's encouraging, right? Put away falsehood. Let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Encourage one another. Build up one another. Be there for one another. Look at verse 28. Ephesians 4:28. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. There's a good verse to remember, right on point with our subject of fine speech. We should have our words be edifying, encouraging, fitting the occasion, and most of all, giving grace to those who hear. Always have gracious speech. Let's read that one more time. Ephesians 4:28. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And finally, here's a good capstone for us in Colossians 3:16. Go to Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. If we follow this passage in our daily walks, we will be most content and most effective in the Lord's plan for our lives, using truly fine speech along the way. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is just so fabulous and brings it all together for us and helps us think correctly and also forget about ourselves. And Father, we ask that you encourage us all that we can be a person with gracious speech on our lips. We can be there to help others, and we can even do what we think is impossible for ourselves through the power of your Spirit. Father, we ask that you bless us all as we go. Help us take your good word out to a lost and dying world that needs it so desperately. We ask these things in the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Spirit, we pray. Amen.